You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Glory. All right, well, everybody ready?
Yes, sir.
Turn with me to Psalms 1. We've never preached on that before. I just don't think you can wear anything out in the Bible. Are you with me? I mean, really, I can think of so many verses that I've preached so many different ways, you know, brought out so many different points out of. And there's a point I want to bring out here in Psalms 1. I've, goodness, preached on Psalm 1. We've sang Psalm 1 and ministered on it. You ought to be able to quote it. You know, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight's in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Amen. Hallelujah. That's that blessed man, the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the scornful. So there are some steps in that. There's some instruction in that. God's word is not just, it's not just filled with promises and provision and protection and all those things. It's filled with instruction and steps and things that we must do. In fact, all the promises of God really are, they have a requirement on your part. Even to be saved, you have to believe. Right. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a gift. It's free. It's nothing you do, but it is something you have to receive. I mean, Brookshire's down here can put a sale on, and they could give away stuff free, but they're not going to come to your house. You have to show up, you know. And you'd still say it's free, and they did give it free, just like salvation's free. It's not a work on your part. It's nothing you do. And faith is not it's not a cause of your salvation. It's a condition of your salvation. There is a condition. All promises have conditions when you think about it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that understood that you're going to lean on Him and call on Him for strength. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The context of that in Philippians 4:19 was that the church had given. He says, you know, I no other church communicate with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. And He says, I'm commending you basically not that I would have more fruit, but I want fruit for your account. And then He says, but my God shall supply your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In other words, you've done what you could do. You've helped with your ability and what you could do. Now God's going to supply your needs according to His ability.
Yeah. Amen.
And He was responding. That was a that promise was a response to their giving. So even that in the context of what it was saying was that, you know, as they have done what they can do, God's going to do what He can do. And I think God can do more than we can do.
Yes.
Amen. So here we are, blessed is the man with instruction. You know, it tells you what to avoid and what to do. The Bible's not filled with just don'ts. It's filled with a lot of do's. I've heard it said this way, that if you spend your time doing what the Bible says to do, you won't have to worry about the things that He says don't do. You actually won't have time to do the don'ts if you spend your time doing the do's.
Right.
What about this? What about this? What about just go love your neighbor? Love God and love your neighbor. That pretty well takes it all in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you spend your time do unto others as you have them do unto you, the whole law and the prophets hang on that. Is it love? Is it? Does it help? Does it encourage? Does it bless? That's pretty simple, you know. So he goes on. He's down here in the second verse. I'm not teaching on these verses, trying not to take them apart, you know. It says, but his delight's in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Now he likens this to being planted. I love this analogy. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Planted by the rivers of water. You know, it's interesting that where you're planted has a lot to do with how you grow or whether you grow. What you turn into. I mean, if you're planted by water, obviously you're going to take in a little more sustenance. If you're planted in good soil, you're going to take in a little more sustenance. And you're going to grow much better. Take in great nutrients and sustenance and so on and so forth. And what he's saying here is that the people you hang around with is like soil you're planting yourself in. And if you hang around the Word of God, you're going to be planted in good soil. That's basically what he's telling us. You know, I used to be in the produce business, and you know, there's a lot of talk about that 10-15 onion. You know, they developed the 10-15 onion down in Forest of Texas A&M, I think, where they developed it. And what they did, they just put stakes in the ground as they developed these different you know, vegetables. This particular was onions in October the 15th. They planted that 10-15. That's what it is. It's a 10-15 onion. That was on the stake. How many of you didn't know that? Hey, aren't you glad you came to church? Okay. So we're just a storehouse of useless information. But anyway, no, let's get back to it here. So what they did, they labeled it the 10-15 onion because they planted it that date. That's what was on the end of that row, and basically it turned out to be a real sweet onion, real nice onion. But it's interesting also, people many times would complain, even the produce business, about they got these 10-15 onions, they weren't all that good, blah, blah, yada, yada. The ground you plant the 10-15 onion determines how sweet that onion's going to be. You can take that same onion slip and plant it in ground that's not real conducive to onions, and it's not going to have the same flavor that it would if it's in good ground. And yet it had the potential. Same DNA and all. I mean, it came from the same slip, onion slip. You know, they developed it and so on, and you went down and bought it at the farmer's market. But see, you could put it in ground. Maybe you didn't nurture it like you should, or maybe the ground didn't have the nutrients it should have. Where you planted it determined how it grew. I believe all of us have great potential in God. I know the scripture's plain that every one of us have potential for greatness in God. None of us were destined to go under. We're all destined to win and destined to be used. We're all destined to be vessels of honor, not dishonor. But it's our choice as to whether we yield to God, allow Him to nurture us, allow Him to plant us, whether we sit around the water of the Word or we sit around the world or the television or whatever the case may be. But know this, that who we're around is going to determine how we're going to grow or whether we're going to grow and what we're going to grow into. So, you know, we make a lot of, and we talk a lot about the Word, and, you know, you ought to read your Bible, you ought to go to church, you ought to get around Christians, and you ought to fellowship with Christians. I don't think there's anything more important than that, other than loving God, of course, number one. Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. The second is likened to this, love your neighbor as yourself. But notice that second requires you to get around people and love people, bless people. And I tell you, getting around Christians is the best thing for you. It's the best kind of ground to get around. It'll make you a better person. Anything you do to help others is going to help you. And when you get in line with God's Word and get around God's Word, you're allowing God to plant you instead of you deciding to grow legs on the seed that you are and just walk off and plant yourself somewhere. Don't plant yourself. Let God plant you. Don't just choose the soil you're going to grow up in. Let God choose the soil you're going to grow up in. Don't just go out and start choosing who you're going to hang around with. Let God choose you who you hang around with. Well, I like old so-and-so. I like this. I like to do this. Or I like to hang around. Well, you know what? Does God like that? I love that song we just sang. I'm going to pray what you pray. I'm going to say what you say. I'm going to do what you do. And see, we need to stop and examine, and first of all, and say, is this God's garden we're in, or is this our own garden of our own making? You know, because you need to get it. You're going to take in whatever ground you're around. You're going to take in whatever it's producing, and you're going to produce the same thing. So he's saying that he gives us instruction, tells us some people we don't need to be hanging around because that's bad ground. Scornful, sinful, ungodly, obviously. He's not being hard-nosed about it. He's not being a bad ogre. You know, he's not being a dictatorial daddy. You know, God's not like a dictator. I think we have the idea of God just having power, just being sovereign. God is love. And the reason he tells us these things is because he loves us. I believe the number one factor in long-term service to God is developing good relationships with Christians. I really believe that. I mean, we often think that we can just do it on our own, but you know, God didn't call any lone rangers. You know, I just taught on the power of we in Hawaii, on the Big Island, in Kona Christian Church, that often I know who I am, but I don't really know who we are. I have an individual identity, but I'm not really identified with a group. And that is so, so unscriptural. In fact, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You need to see yourself as a part of a whole, part of a church, part of the body of Christ. Just a part, not the whole thing. In fact, you're not even unique by yourself. You're only unique when you get with us. Because by yourself, you're just yourself. You're the only self there is. It's only as you get yourself with other selves that you begin to be unique. Isn't that right? That's when your gifts come out. That's when your difference comes out. And also you see your deficiency, but that's good, because where you lack, somebody else takes up slack. That's what the body of Christ is about. We're not all the same. Thank God we're not all the same. We're different, uniquely gifted, different, deficient by design. You know, God designed us to be deficient, if you want to know the truth, but he also gifted us very uniquely. Nobody is like me. Hallelujah. Somebody.
Amen.
But you don't ever benefit from me unless I get with you. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And I don't know how unique I am until I get with you. You know, they'll say everybody's normal until you get to know them. Anyway. But notice how we grow when we get together. You know, I think about plants. You know, there's certain plants organically. There's plants that you can plant with other plants that keep insects from eating up one plant. If you get the right plant, a certain type of plant planted by other plants, it actually keeps insects away. And certain plants don't even grow. They won't even pollinate or cross-pollinate unless other plants are there. Certain trees, you have to plant them in twos and threes, or they won't even develop fruit. Because they were just made, you know, to be planted in a group. We were made to be planted in a group. We are not Lone Rangers. I love that. I shared that the other day about the Lone Ranger. You know, do you even know what his name is? No, you don't even know his name. You know his horse's name, Trigger. And Tonto. What's the Lone Ranger's name? Who knows? Who is that masked man? Well, that's the Lone Ranger. You know, how Silver? Or Silver's is, was Silver? Roy Rogers was Trigger, wasn't he? Yeah. Silver is the horse's name. And Tonto, where would Lone Ranger be without Tonto? He'd be dead. I've seen several of those shows that he'd have died without Tonto. There are no Lone Rangers, not in the body of Christ. We need each other. I'll tell you why I'm still serving God. You. Because of you, I'm still serving God. You have made a difference in my life. You have kept me straight. I can go around the world and I think about you. I think about my family, my body, the body of Christ here at Wills Point International Outreach Church. Thank God for this church. This is what God's into. He's into churches. Everybody needs to be a part of a church. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Even more so as you say that, see the day approaching, the coming of the Lord. Hebrews 10:25 tells us that. See, we're members of a body, members in particular. I'm not the body of Christ. I'm a member of the body. We are the body. So I know who I am, but do I know who we am? That's a good question. I think we have an individual identity, but do we have a corporate identity? Do we see ourselves as a we, or do we see ourselves as a me? See, it's important that we get a hold of that. And that's what he's talking about here. This whole context is hanging around people, and which ones not to hang around with, and which ones to hang around with. And if we get around the right people, we're allowing God to plant us. And boy, you get in God's ground and you let God start watering and nurturing you. Oh my, you're like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth your fruit in the season, and your leaf also shall not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Glory. I think our biggest problem is that we've been trying to plant ourselves. And we've been picking our ground. But we're not allowing God to do it. We're not examining and seeing what the Word says about who we should be around. You know what? Should we be in church? Yes, you should be in church. You should be in church just to grow, to build up a defense. I mean, there's so much protection. There's benefit and protection in church. But I want to be planted. I'm not a rolling stone, as Bob Dylan used to sing, you know, like a rolling stone with no direction home. Can't remember the rest of it, but I guarantee I can sing it better than he can sing, because he couldn't sing anyway. How does it feel to be on your own like a rolling stone? The complete unknown or something like that. Anyway, thank God he finally did get saved, you know. But it says here that he'll be like a tree planted. Planted. I wonder, are we planted? Or are we still just blowing in the wind? Well, the answer, my friend, is not blowing in the wind. Quit going back. My mind's going back to those songs. Quit. The answer is in God's Word. Amen. The answer is getting planted. That's a good question we ought to ask ourselves. Are we planted? You know, I prayed over Jonathan and Liz that they would find a church. That is paramount. I mean, listen, You get somewhere, you move somewhere, you find you a church, you get hooked up. You need to. Because you're still a seed blowing in the wind. You're never going to increase. You're never going to be fruitful. You're never going to multiply. You're never going to prosper till you get planted.
That's right. That's right.
And that's not just marriage. You know, people talk about marriage as opposed to being single. You can be single and be fruitful if you're in spiritually in a church, if you're hooked up with a body of believers. I am so much better person than I would be if I wasn't in church. Maybe you're not real thrilled about me, but you would hate me without me being in church. All of us can be a terror on our own. But I tell you, we get in church, it just does something to us, changes us. It you know, we hear about praying for people, forgiving people, and repenting of our sin, and we, little by little, we begin to be changed. We find that we can make it. We got strength, we got help, we got hope, we got a healer, hallelujah. We're more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. We can get through this, praise God, and we're encouraged by others, and we hear testimonies about somebody that got set free. Hey, if God set them free, He set me free. I need that. I need your testimony. I need your victory. I need you to serve God. And you need me to serve God. This is good ground to grow in, to be planted in. You know, there's a lot of people just never really get planted. I mean, they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, but they're not planted. You know, everybody ought to be a part of a church somewhere. This is something God started. Man didn't start a church. God did. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to... Wow, this is so good. I don't know where to turn to. Psalms 92. Let's turn there. Psalms 92. I'm going to wind up quitting here in a little bit. I won't get through. Not many sermons do we ever really get through with. We just reach a point there and stop and go home. Psalms 92. Notice what it says here in the 12th verse. The righteous, Psalms 92. It's right after Psalms 91. Just want to help you out. The 12th verse, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. The Knox translation says, grow to greatness. Man, I love that. Now, see, that, now think about it. Just take it apart. Don't just read that and just jump to the next point. You need to stop, meditate on words, and chew on words, you know. In His law doth he meditate day and night. We just read that. And that's the Hebrew word haggah, means to say it, to speak it, to say it to yourself, to not in the Eastern sense of just think, but to actually repeat it, mutter it, and say it, confess it. So he says here that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. In other words, as I serve God and do what's right and submit myself to Him, you know that song we just sang, I hadn't heard that, it's really great, that everything Jesus did was surrender. Mm-hmm. I love that. Because really what I do, I step out on God's Word, I surrender to God's Word. I'm going to do what God says to do, that's a surrender. So I'm not just on my own here. I'm actually surrendering my steps to Him, the steps of a righteous man, or word of the Lord. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. So as I'm serving God and doing what's right, I am flourishing, I am growing. But if I am not serving God and doing what's right, I'm not going to flourish, I'm not going to grow. Oh, I'm living, I'm existing, but I'm not really growing and flourishing. And people can live their whole lives and never... their life never comes to fruition. They never fulfill their destiny. They never really grow or increase. There's no real fruit in their life. They're there. The clock's ticking. The sun comes up. Sun goes down. River flows. The buffalo roam. The wind blows. But they're not growing. Why is that? Because you can only grow if you're walking holy and walking right. Isn't that right? So don't you want to grow? Do you want to see what you can really be, what God wants you to be, your destiny? Do you want to be a help and a blessing and an answer and hope to people? Well, you know, it takes some effort. It takes some discipline to be a disciple, you know. But as I submit myself to God, He says, love, I'm going to love. He says, forgive, I'm going to forgive. He says, walk holy, I'm going to walk holy. I may not want to, but He knows better than I do. I'm going to submit to that. I'm going to surrender to this. And you know what? All of a sudden, I start growing. Hallelujah. I start flourishing. Why? Because I'm being planted by God. I'm in the right soil now. I had the potential before, but now I'm in the right soil. The right environment, the right soil, the right habitat for you and I is to be around people and have our fellowship with people that love God, that serve God. That we're not perfect. We're trying our best. We're all serving God. We all things we've got to work on, sure. But we love Him. We're passionate. We want to do what's right. We know we need each other. Amen? And none of us can make it on our own.
That's right. That's right.
I don't believe any of us can make it on our own. I can't make it on my own. I need you just like you need me. And that's a great day when you realize that. That you're not the center of the universe, you know. It's a great day when you get over yourself. Because that's when you start growing. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. He shall grow, see? Come to grow to greatness. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Wow. I run into people, you know, that know Jesus. I mean, they're a Christian. They're going to heaven. Thank God. I mean, that's wonderful. But then the next question I guess we should ask is, where are you planted? Oh, I really don't go to church. Okay, so you're not planted then. Can you tell me how a plant can grow without being planted? That'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd just be impossible. I can't even fathom that. I can't imagine. That's what God's telling us. Until we get planted, we're not going to grow. We may be saved. We may know Jesus. All I need is Jesus. Well, now, wait a minute. All you need is Jesus to go to heaven, but you need more than just Jesus to grow. Please don't take this blasphemously or sacrilegiously. But if you're going to grow, if you live here and you're going to church, it could be any. We got a lot of great churches, so don't take it wrong. But if you're going to grow, you need me. And if I'm going to grow, I need you. All I need is Jesus. No, no, that's not what Jesus said.
Right.
Jesus talked about us loving one another. You know, and think about it. I mean, all through the Scripture, it talks about the need for each other, our need for each other. Wow. So this is a tremendous plus for me, church is. Man, I can't wait to get to church to get some more nutrients. To start flourishing and growing some more. I need church. I need the anointing. I need the worship, the praise. I need your testimony. I need the word. I need all this. If I'm going to be planted and really grow. Or I'm just going to be blowing in the wind otherwise. And I've seen people. You know, of course, we're charismatic, full of gospel. We used to call them cruisematics. They just cruise in one church and just cruise in another, you know. Just cruise in here and cruise in. They never would settle. And so they never could really come to fruition. Never could fully grow or flourish. And thank God. Now listen, when I say that, there's a lot of great churches in our town. We're pro-church. We're not saying we're the only one. We're not. There's a lot of great churches. And my hat's off to anybody that's committed and dedicated to church. We should get in church because that's what God has called us to do here. And it says here, 13th verse, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, of course, that's a general sense, the big body of Christ, but then practically we know in the new covenant that God established the church and local churches all through the New Testament. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Hallelujah. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Man, I am standing on that one more every year. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Woo! You want to continue to flourish? Not just dry up? Well, you don't stay hooked up.
Yeah.
Stay hooked up, you won't dry up. You'll grow up. Turn over to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah the prophet, not the bullfrog. Jeremiah 17. Oh, this is good. Man, what a great thought when you think about it. I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a born-again believer. I'm washed in the blood, going to heaven. But now the next question, am I planted somewhere? I think that's where, you know, that's where we live defeated lives, ineffective lives. That's why the church as a whole is not doing all that it can do. And not reaching its full potential. There's a lot of great churches doing a lot of great things. We're doing a lot of great things. Thank God for International Outreach Church. But it's interesting that the more people that are planted, the more effective we all become, because that's when we grow and flourish and increase. It's when we get hooked up. You know, I remember Ken, the first time Ken came. How many years ago, Ken? 4 years ago. Four and a half years ago. Ken came in and first time I met him. I mean, he came in and I think he'd been straight a week, or I don't know if he's even straight then. It was about a week or so, or, you know, he'd been out of prison. Anyway, he was pretty messed up. But anyway, he was trying. He came in. And I didn't know Ken, but I looked at Ken and I said, look, man, I appreciate you coming. I think you're in the right place. It's all great. Well, good, so on and so forth. I said, but you are not. I don't know why I was so hard on Kent. It had to be the Holy Ghost, because that's not that way. But I wasn't hard, but I mean, I was stern. I looked at him, looked him right in the eye, and I said, Ken, let me tell you something. If you don't change your friends and the people you hang around with, you are not going to be able to make this work. You're not going to be able to serve God. But if you'll make a commitment to change your fellowship and change your friends, you can make this work. Didn't I, isn't that what I said? And here he is. 4 years, over 4 years later. You know what? He took that to heart. Of course, he had good. Dale and Cheryl were working with him. And I mean, he changed his whole friend. He changed. He didn't hang around the people he used to hang around with. You know, when I got saved, I quit hanging around the people I used to hang around with. I'd witness to them, work with them on jobs, but I didn't hang out with them. Except when I'd get them in church. You know, I'd get them to come to church. And some of those people got saved. One of them's pastor in my hometown. I led him to the Lord. Don Murphy. You've heard Don Murphy. I witnessed to Don for years. I mean, I talked Don into coming to church one time. I told him there was this good-looking girl he needed to go meet at church. I knew I could get him in church. And I lied, but I got him in church. Didn't do any good. Anyway, it was actually a couple years later or more that he got saved. So that didn't work. That tactic didn't work. But anyway, I didn't hang around those people. Are you with me? I changed all my friends. We were in Houston. We didn't know anybody. Are you kidding me? It was tough. I remember those days. I mean, I didn't know anybody. We started looking for a church to go to, you know. So we went to a church and had to develop all new friends. It was a new experience for me. I was young and I was born again, but I knew I had to get out of that bunch of people I was around, you know. I had to quit hanging around those people. It's too much temptation. Nobody's that strong. Don't kid yourself. Listen, Jesus didn't go hang around those kinds of people. He allowed them to come to him, and he ministered to everyone that came to him. But we don't. You need to get this out of your head that Jesus went and hung around the bars. He did not. What they got on to Jesus about that is that he ate with publicans and sinners. They came and flocked to him. He did not go to the brothels, and he did not go to the bars. There were places like that, but he didn't go there. But when he would go places, they would flock to him because he forgave them, he accepted them, and they were repented of their sins. I hear people often try to twist that and say, well, I'm just out there ministering to these people. No, that's not what Jesus did. You need to go read all that again in context. They were mad because he accepted them when they repented. That's what Luke 15 is all about, where it talks about the lost coin and the lost sheep and the prodigal son. The Pharisees were upset with Jesus because he ate with publicans and sinners. And he said, look, you know what? Your attitude really stinks here. You're all upset about these people coming to me. They have come home. And when a man loses a sheep and finds it, he throws a party. When a woman loses a coin and finds it, she invites all of her friends. And when the prodigal son comes home, they kill the fatted calf. You ought to be rejoicing these people got saved. And the church should be a place of help and hope where people can come, no matter what they've done. You know, we're a voice against sin, but we're a voice for the sinner. You think about it. I say it all the time. We're against homosexuality. We're against adultery. We're against abortion. We're against sin, but we're not against the sinner. Any homosexual wants to get saved, hey, we'll take them in. If you want to get right, come on. If you want to repent, we'll take you. We don't care where you've been, what you've done. If you're willing to give your life over to God, if you've been in adultery, if you've committed abortion, which is sin and a murder, we're against it. We're not against you. If you repent, we'll take you in. Hallelujah! You got a bright future. You're just a seed blowing in the wind. You need to get planted over here and start growing and flourishing. And we of all people ought to be the ones that welcome you in if you truly repent. Now there it is. If you truly repent, so we're not against you. We love you. Amen? That's what Jesus was addressing there. So fellowship is so important. It's so vitally important. Jeremiah 17, found it? Excuse me for getting stirred up. It's good stuff. Amen? Wow. First he talks pretty hard on going your own way, and then he talks about how blessed you are if you go his way. The 17th chapter, notice the 5th verse, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Curses a man to trust in man and makes flesh his strength. Wow. Whose heart departs from the Lord. For he should be like a shrub in the desert. Well, there you go. You won't be a shrub or a tree. You won't live in a desert or in a garden. He should be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. Won't even recognize it. Doesn't even know how to have a good life. Doesn't even recognize it. Doesn't even, because he's living in sin. He doesn't even know how to get. See how blinded we get. Sin blinds us. It always does. Sin's always likening to something dark, you know, and low. I mean, when you're sinful, you're what we call a low life, you know. And then if it's dark and blind and you're in ignorance when you're in sin. See, walking holy always is likened to light. That's why God is light. See, in him is no darkness at all. And he's high. He's high and lifted up. Because when you're up high, you can see. You can see things, see. And the guy that's living holy and living right can see more than the guy that's not. That's really pretty simple. We often think about people that we'll say they had street smarts and street savvy because they lived this life. I tell you what, I'd rather have God savvy. I'd rather have holy savvy. I'd rather never have done the things I did before I got saved. And I will guarantee you I know a whole lot more about life now that I got saved than I did when I was doing those things. I will guarantee you, and this makes perfect sense, that a guy that's sober knows more about drunkenness than a guy that's drunk. And if you want to hear a lecture on sleep, you really need somebody that's awake to give it. Even we who serve God and are serving God know more about the temptation, the power of sin, and the power of the wind because we didn't fall over with it when it first started blowing. We're still standing against it. We recognize the power of it. We recognize the evil in it. I recognize sin quicker now than I did when I was sinning. And I recognize where it takes me because I'm still standing. Those who resist it and resist it have felt more of it and recognized it more than those that just give in to it every time it comes. Well, you just don't understand. No, I'll tell you what. I didn't understand when I used to live in sin, but I understand a lot more now that I am living holy.
Yeah.
Are you with me? And so virtue knows vice. Think about it that way. Holiness knows the power of ungodliness, but ungodliness does not know virtue. It does not understand. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
Yeah. Yeah.
1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that. But see, I can stand as a Christian, as a believer. Now I begin to understand sin more because I'm living holy. I understand forgiveness more and the power of unforgiveness and how treacherous and devilish and devious bitterness is because I choose to forgive. Now when I'm mad and upset and bitter, I don't understand it. I'm liable to give in to it. And don't see how important it is that I repent and forgive. But when I'm forgiving and letting it go, I'm starting to see the power of that thing. I'm starting to see how evil that is. Bitterness is terrible. It's not something for you to pet. It's not a devil you need to put in a cage and put in your house and pet. Don't pet that devil.
That's right.
Yeah. How I got off on all that. Tommy, you must need that. How are you? Okay. You or Melissa, I don't know which one, but anyway, y'all figure it out. Anyway, says here, he'll be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, rough life, in a salt land which is not inhabited. I've seen people live rough lives. I've had relatives that live rough lives and aged way beyond their year. I mean, you'd think they're 10 or 15 years older than they are. You can see it in people's lives. Sin takes a toll on you. It really does. Living those kinds of lives is bad on you. But you know what? You begin to flourish. Your youth renewed like eagles when you serve God.
Yeah.
You know, you're still going to die when you get old, but you get a little older.
Right.
You do get a little older. And he says this seventh verse. It's almost like Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Does that sound familiar? I mean, it's just like Psalms 1. Which spreads out its roots by the river. You're getting planted, you're getting settled down in the Word and in church with God's people. He'll be like a tree planted by spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. Turn the heat on. Let the devil throw his best shot. We're not going to fear. We will not be afraid of evil tidings. Our heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Psalms 112 tells us that. My heart's fixed, trusting. I'm trusting God. I'm living for God. God's going to take care of me.
Yes.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Yeah.
He makes me lie down in green pasture, leads me by the still waters. Leads me to paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Not to say we don't have challenges and we don't get hit, but I tell you, we don't give up and we don't quit.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And he says he will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. Hello. You ever heard bad news about the economy or stock market or any number of things going on in government? That's nothing new. That's been going on for years and years and years. But we who are serving God are not anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Man, I love that. Let me read that out of the message. You're gonna love this. Are you sitting down? You better be. You're gonna need to sit down and hear this. This is out of the Message translation. This is kind of like a paraphrase, not an exact translation, but I love the way he words this. He says, "Cursed is the strong one who depends on mere humans, who thinks he can make it on muscle alone, and sets God aside as dead weight. He's like a tumbleweed on the prairie, out of touch with the good earth. He lives rootless and aimless in a land where nothing grows. Whew. But blessed is the man who trusts me, God. The woman who sticks with God. They're like trees replanted in Eden, putting down roots near the rivers, never a worry through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf, serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit every season." Isn't that good? You know, and that depends on us, of course, being planted. It depends on where we're planted. That has nothing to do with just our potential. Listen, every one of us have potential to be used by God. Every one of us have potential to have a good life, as it were. Life's full of struggles and challenges and always will be. We understand that. We're not in heaven. But we can prosper. We can increase. We can be fruitful if we choose to be planted in the right spot. Isaiah 58, I'm going to close this out. This helping you? Man, I choose to be planted by God. I've got about 8 or 9 more verses I want to get to, but I'm going to stop with this one. Man, Isaiah 58 is so good. It's talking about the kind of fast that God chooses, not just giving up stuff, but helping people. You know, if my doing without doesn't help anybody, what's the point? All it does is draw attention to me. You know, God didn't call you to go off somewhere and just be holy by yourself. You know, that was kind of it was a misapplication of some scripture. You know, when the whole movement of monks going off into monasteries in the Catholic Church years ago, you know, hundreds of years ago, they would go off and spend their whole life in solitude just reading the Word and singing psalms and hymns and so on. But, you know, the world was going to hell, and no one was helped by that. Now, you know, they had great intentions, and thank God, and they were passionate. We're not against Catholics, thank God. I'm for people that love God. And that sounds great, but God did not call you to go off by yourself. God called you to be a part of this suffering, sighing, dying world. They need you. This world needs you. Your family needs you. I need you. We need to be planted in the garden of the Lord, which is the church. Locally speaking, it's the local church. That's where we're going to grow, and God wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to help people and affect people. We're saved to serve. We strength is for service, not status. It's not about me just being by myself. I know who I am. I said that earlier, you know. Oh, I love God, and I need to serve God, and I need to pray, and it's personal. I understand that. But serving God is not personal. Serving God is more than personal. Serving God is helping others. It's loving others. You know, the Pharisees appealed to that. Matthew 23:23, it says, Jesus was telling them, it says, "You tithe mint, anise, and cumin, and you have left out the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought you to have done and not leave the other undone." Yes, it's good that you tithe, but see, my whole life is not about just tithing. It should be. I should tithe. I should not leave it undone. He did say that in Matthew 23:23. But he says the weightier matters of the law, judgment, the way we deal with people, mercy, and faith. I love that. Whew. Okay, so here in this 58th chapter, just to give you a whole big synopsis, and I'm going to read a few verses here. He talks about the fast that he desires, the fast that God requires, is that we help the poor and help the needy and so on. I think about our food ministry, you know, that's just one of many things we do. But when I think about a successful church, are we doing any good? Are we helping anybody? Are we doing any good? Can we end the day and go to bed at night and know that we've done something for Jesus? Well, I can think of, well, hey, the food ministry, that's helping people. And the Hallelujah Night, reaching out to children and telling them about Jesus and the missions that we support. Are you with me? It's more than just holding a service. We're bearing some fruit here. We're helping some people. And it says, Wow. Can y'all bear with me just a little bit? Sixth verse. Let's start there. Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Go help somebody. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Wow. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry and he will say, here I am. Got an open ear for us. Amen. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness and your darkness shall be as the noonday. That's one of the reasons we call this Shining Light Food Ministry, from this verse, Shining Light Food Ministry. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you should be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Man. Now that's letting God plant you. That's being a well-watered garden right there. That's reaching out to people. That's helping people, blessing people, praying for people, feeding the hungry, you know, if you can. Do what you can. Be a witness. Pray for, lift and encourage and bless and build up instead of tear down. Amen. Don't hang around those that just criticize. Listen, those that row the boat don't have time to rock it. They really don't. Anybody can criticize. But the question is, what are we doing about it? What are we doing to make a difference? You know, I think about Hallelujah Night. That's what we decided to do, make a difference. You know, we talk about vandalism goes on that night. People get, houses get egged, and, you know, they toilet paper the yards and houses and all kinds of crimes committed, and kids dress up like witches and devils and goblins and worship the devil and everything. You know, we can complain and gripe about it as the church, or we can say, you know what, let's do something about it. Why don't we just have a Hallelujah Night and give them all free candy and invite them out here and tell them about Jesus? And so we did. Mm-hmm. We decided to do something, see?
Yeah.
I love that. That's allowing God to plant us. See, God didn't want you, He wants to plant you so your fruit would bless people and help people, and the shade of the tree of your growth would shelter them, and oh, hallelujah. Then you're a part of the answer. And you can make a difference. No doubt about it. You get in the right soil, you can. You can't do it if you don't put it down roots, but you can if you become a part of a whole, part of a group. That's why I say all the time, you know, you hear me say it constantly, we are making a difference. Because really, we are making a difference. We are reaching the world from Wills Point, Texas. We are changing the face of our community and our county and the world. We're sending missionary money and supporting missionaries all over the world. All over the world. People are getting saved. Crusades are going on. New churches are getting built because of the support that we give. It's awesome what we can do when we get planted. We're sweet 10-15s because we're planted in the right soil. So that's the question we've got to ask ourselves, and I guess that's the message is, where are you planted? Are you planted? You know, are you just blowing the wind? Well, I believe we're planted here, and I believe we're making a difference. Hallelujah.